Senator Scott Ryan is the Liberal Senator for Victoria. He's Shadow Parliamentary Secretary for Small Business and Competition, and would be expecting a promotion to the Outer Ministry in the event that Tony Abbott, as the polls suggest, is going to win Saturday's federal election. Senator Ryan, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, John.
And I understand it's some inconvenience and you've had to change your plans at the last minute to join us. Why are you here rather than the candidate for this seat of McEwen?
Well, I had a commitment this afternoon, so it was easy for me to accommodate this request, John. Look, this is the last week of the campaign. I had a brief chat to Donna on the way here, and she had a commitment at a local school way on the other side of the electorate. And the choice between a good media opportunity and breaking her word to a school, I think she chose not to break her word.
We put in the request, I won't go through it chapter and verse, but it is peculiar. Friday, all weekend, Monday, and Liberal Party headquarters literally at the last minute diverted you, I think I can say. You were on your way somewhere else and you were kind of peeled off to come here. It's a very odd way to communicate to the people here and the people on the radio what the Liberal Party offers for the people of McEwen.
Well, I'm on the ballot paper too. I'm running for re-election to the Senate this time. It's a much bigger ballot paper, actually, than the one in McEwen. Yeah,
it's about 2 metres long. Yeah.
But look, I had a commitment this afternoon. It was easy for me to divert and get here. And we do our best to accommodate requests. But, you know, you wouldn't want to disappoint a school community because those things aren't always, you know, easy to change at the last minute either.
So instead of talking to a couple of 100,000 people, she prefers to go and speak to some school kids.
Oh, I think it could be portrayed differently, John, as a matter of keeping your word to a commitment you'd made to turn up to something.
All right, I won't keep banging on. We've heard so far this morning from people here, and we've been hearing it on the talkback and elsewhere, and I put this to Rob Mitchell, who is the Labor sitting member, a profound disillusionment, even a disappointment in the calibre of political engagement across the board in this election campaign. What's your take on it?
I've heard that before in elections, John. I think Australians have a healthy cynicism about politics. They don't expect an election to be able to solve the problems of the world. I was up here at this very cafe a few weeks ago. I've been going around Victoria. I've been interstate quite a bit as part of the election campaign. And what I've heard is people are interested in solutions and promises that deal with the problems in their lives that you can fix. And they want to know details.
And what we're hearing, I mean, Tony Abbott last night with Lee Sales on 7:30, a very polished performance. Kevin Rudd on Q&A on ABC television. We're not getting a lot of, when they have got together, we haven't had a lot of meshing. It's been a bit of he said, and tit for tat, but not a lot of meshing and an absence of clear, well, from an outsider's point of view, a clear path, here's where the future is for Australia.
Well, I think you want to make, as a politician, promises that you can deliver. I mean, I've always said that you want to make promises that you're going to be there to implement. And you don't necessarily, I'm not one that likes to make promises about 2050. I like to make promises about 2013, 2016 and 2020 because I hope to be there to be able to deliver those. And I think I saw Tony's interview on 7:30 late last night when I got home. I didn't see Q&A. And what we saw from Tony, you described it as a polished performance. I describe it as someone who has a very clear vision of what he wants to achieve in the next 3 years, and he's seeking a mandate from the people for that.
Okay, a couple of chinks opening up in the Liberal Party offering, the suite of offerings that you're providing to us. Buying back boats from Indonesian fishermen has been laughed at left, right and centre. Are you personally comfortable with that sort of a policy?
It's part of a suite of policies. It's to solve what is a genuine crisis. We've had 50,000 people arrive on our shores without visas.
Are you happy to spend $20 million paying fishermen to buy rickety boats? And have you ever been to Indonesia? You ever been
yes,
to
I
any
have.
Of these harbors?
I haven't been. I've been to Jogjakarta.
You've been to Labuan-Jaho or Kupang or any of these places. There are thousands of boats.
You know what, John? If it stops one of those boats coming to Australia with all the risks that entails, and maybe one of those boats that might sink and be another tragedy as part of the thousands we've had of losses at sea, then, you know what? I'd consider that to be a good part of the policy.
Paid parental leave, described as middle-class welfare by its critics, and Rolls-Royce by even Eva Cox. How bizarre that Eva Cox is supporting Tony Abbott on this policy. Who'd have ever thought that they'd see the world the same way on this issue? Again and again on Talkback and elsewhere, we've heard people saying, I'd rather you did something about childcare rather than a very lavish and generous paid parental leave scheme.
Well, I think the fact that Eva Cox supports the policy says more about its opponents than what you describe as not being surprised to see the two of them together. My one of my portfolio areas is small business, and can I say I've spoken to small businesses, and one of the real challenges for their employees is they cannot afford the generous paid parental leave schemes that a Coles or an NAB or the public sector can offer, or a university or even local government. This is going to actually put small business on a level footing in an employment sense for the first time. And I know small business owners that have had a female employee come to them and say, I know you can't offer this same scheme. I want to have a family. I'm not going to ask you to pull out of your pocket because it's going to come out of your family's pocket. And they will find another job that actually has a more supportive arrangement. And can I say, I mean, I have a young, almost two-year-old, and I've got a brother with three kids, and every younger woman I speak to thinks this is a very important policy because it means that they've particularly got equity in employment arrangements. And I think
up to $75,000 for someone on a salary of
$150,000. Well, that's not. Yeah, but that's. I mean, you are talking about the 1.5-2% of people there. What the
but everything shouldn't everything government does shouldn't it always be means tested so we're not giving money to people who don't really need it?
Well, you mentioned childcare. The childcare rebate's not means tested. Well, Medicare is not means tested.
Maybe
John.
It should be.
We don't.
I remember having this argument with Peter Costello about the first home buyers grant. And there were a few cases of people buying million-dollar houses with a first home buyer.
But you're not advocating that we means test Medicare.
I actually, insofar as I ever say anything, yes, I'd means test everything government does.
Well, I don't. I mean, I think the Australian people probably wouldn't want to means test Medicare. You know, there are certain elements of our social arrangements that have long been considered to be universal in their impact. And what this policy does is turn a parental leave from something you might get if you're lucky to be in that employment arrangement that every young person, particularly women, are going to have as part of their employment package, and it's not going to be something that a small business can't afford but a big business can. And I think that is going to have a dramatic impact on the labour market.
All right, and a couple of other things. Your area includes, as you say, small business and competitiveness. One of the issues that we've had is tax reform, and it's clear that the Liberal Party are offering a reduction in company tax. They're offering to get rid of the carbon tax. They're offering to reduce any future mining taxes. None of this helps small business. That's all designed to help people at the top end of town.
Oh, no, that's not right, John. You've got a good portion of small businesses that are incorporated, so they will benefit from the company tax cut. So, you know, every small business that is a company goes from 30% to 28.5% in company tax. That's a very big benefit to small business.
1.5% of what tax they pay.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a tax cut, though, for small business that is important. And when I speak to small business people that are incorporated, that's good news to them.
All right.
The FBT arrangements, you know, you've got a lot of small business employees who, because of salary packaging, have been made available to staff what larger companies and government departments could, you know, with company cars and things like that.
No, that's mostly been hospitals and charity sector.
No, it's also small business using these salary packaging companies that have taken a hit on the share market. That ends on Sunday. Because it hasn't been legislated. We've said we won't go ahead with it. And so the charity sector, you're quite right. There are a lot in the public sector. There are also a lot of small businesses that have used salary packaging firms.
Okay, and what about the people here? We're up in Gisborne. How does spending billions of dollars with the state government together, but $1.5 billion of federal money on a tunnel through Carlton, how does that solve congestion problems for the rest of Melbourne and Victoria?
Well, anyone that uses the Tullamarine Freeway, and you know, I spend a lot of time driving around Victoria, creating a second east-west link is critical. I mean, there was a day last year where a car broke down at 3 o'clock on the Balti Bridge, and it took me an hour and 25 minutes to get from Moonee Ponds to Collins Street. And it wasn't a particularly busy day. And that's because the east-west links across Melbourne are so completely dependent upon the Domain and Burnley tunnels.
You could, with much less impact on Royal Park than is being proposed, widen Elliott Avenue, improve the traffic through there, and not build an $8 billion tunnel.
I'm willing to bet that my local council, the City of Yarra, and many of the opponents would just as oppose a widening of Elliott Avenue. Look, one of the things I'm a big believer in is that these decisions should be made at the state level. They have all the information. I don't want my roads and cities planned from Canberra. And the state government has listed this as a priority, and we are quite proud of the fact that we're going to support it. I think it'll make a huge difference with EastLink and the logistics hubs that are developing on the east and west of Melbourne. The freight burden is actually increasing very quickly, and east-west tunnel will take a lot of pressure off the Monash.
All right. Look, thank you very much for coming along today. And
thanks,
I know,
John.
It was a great diversion in your normal routine at the last minute.
Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Victorian Liberal Senator Scott Ryan, who has come along.